Hey there, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. In this podcast, I'm going to be talking about cardio training, and cardio training is definitely one of the most popular subjects with mountain bikers. Everybody wants to know how to improve their cardio, and so what I want to do in this podcast is give you some things to think about that will help you make smarter training decisions and get more out of the time that you invest in your cardio training. Now, before I get too far into it, I do just want to point out, you know, hopefully you've been following some of my stuff, read some stuff on my blog, you know that I think that cardio training is just one part of your overall training program, that it usually gets overemphasized by a lot of coaches, and that you need to definitely be working on your strength, your mobility, and your skills as well. Those things are not less important than cardio training. But with that said, cardio training is obviously an important part of your overall program. You're going to be doing cardio training, and so you want to make sure you're getting the most out of it. So what I want to do is explain a little bit about how I look at cardio training and then give you some general guidelines to think about when you're looking at your program, and especially this time of year going into the off season. You know, a lot of riders are starting to think about what kind of program they're going to use to train this off season so they can ride even better next year. And this will give you some ideas and stuff. So anyways, to kick things off, let me explain how I look at cardio training. And it's definitely a little different than the way most people have been explained, you know, how cardio training works. And one of the most common questions, I guess I'll start it like this. Like, the thing that really got me thinking about this is I get a lot of people who ask me, what heart rate or power zone should I be training in to, you know, if I race cross country or race downhill or, you know, super D or enduro, whatever it is. They usually have some sort of specific riding event or discipline in mind, and they're wanting to know, how do I train for that? Specifically, what kind of heart rates or power zones am I looking at? And my reply to that is always like, well, you know, I mean, it depends. And the problem is that your heart rate and power, like, those are symptoms of movement, and movement is what, you know, causes performance. So heart rate and power are not a direct cause of performance. They're simply a symptom of movement. So let me explain how that works. Your body creates tension. So when you say, okay, I'm gonna get on my bike and I'm gonna start pedaling, you know, your muscles are dumb. They don't know how to do anything. They rely on input from the brain to tell them what to do. Basically, they can either contract or they can relax. And so the muscles, you know, create tension, and that coordinated tension through the muscles is what creates movement. Now, movement is what creates power. Like, you can't have power if you don't have movement. I mean, for example, like an isometric contraction, if you're just, you know, standing there holding a heavy weight, you're not producing any power, but you're still creating tension. You know, you have to have movement. Once you start moving, now you have power. So you need that tension first in order to create movement, and then the movement creates the power. And so the power is, you know, a symptom of how you move. And the same thing with the heart rate. Like, the heart rate responds to trying to fuel that tension. Like, as your body is creating and trying to sustain that tension as you're pedaling, your heart rate and cardiovascular system respond to fuel that specific type of tension. So again, those things are symptoms, not direct causes of performance. The direct cause of performance is tension. The better that you can create and manage tension in the specific movements that you need on your bike, the better you're going to be able to perform, and the less energy you're going to have to use doing it. So again, this also, as a quick side note, this is one of the reasons that, you know, I don't like the term cardio training, because it gives the impression that simply increasing your cardiovascular fitness, or basically markers of cardiovascular fitness, is the point of training, when it's not. You know, the cardiovascular system is part of your energy systems. Like, how does your cardiovascular system and your metabolic system work together to fuel and sustain specific types of tension in the muscles? And so that's what you're trying to work on. So that's why I actually, you know, I like the term energy systems development better than cardio. So I have energy systems development workouts, not cardio workouts, as part of my routine. I still use the term cardio training because it's the common term for what we're talking about. But really, when you break it down, it's kind of a misleading term in and of itself, because it gives you the wrong impression of what the goal of training is. So, you know, you're going to see increases in cardiovascular fitness, but you want it to be in a way that actually improves your energy system's ability to produce and sustain movement and tension. So anyways, getting back on track. So hopefully that gives you a little bit different, you know, idea there of, you know, when you're, you know, tension should be the goal, not a specific heart rate or power. Now, there's obviously a time and place for using heart rate or power zones, you know, in your training to help guide your training. But when it becomes the guiding force all the time, you run into problems because you're not looking at, you can get your body to create, you know, specific heart rates or power zones without necessarily mimicking the specific tension demands and movement demands that you need in your sport. And that's not necessarily the goal. So something else to keep in mind is how the mind plays a role in all of this, and how it kind of gets overlooked in cardio training, is that, you know, you're not just trying to improve your cardiovascular fitness, but also your mental toughness as well. And so, you know, there's been some evidence, you know, particularly there was a study in 2010 by a guy named Samuel Marcora. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And in that study, it had compelling evidence that, you know, your perception of effort and not physiological limitations were the true cause of fatigue. And basically, fatigue is brought on more by a mental state than a physical state. Now, obviously, the two play off of each other. But what that means is that someone that is dying metabolically, but for whatever reason mentally has trained themselves to be able to stay focused, and they're just, you know, tougher, is going to be able to continue to endure, versus someone who is in the same physiological state and doesn't have that same mental focus and fortitude, if you will. And so the physiological markers, again, are secondary to the mental state that you can train yourself to be in at that point. So, you know, training yourself basically to be able to handle, you know, the fatigue and the, you know, feeling miserable is, you know, an important thing. Now, another thing, and just kind of while I was, you know, thinking about this, I remember hearing, it was on a strength coach podcast, and I think it was the guys at Athletes Performance, and I forget if it was a study that they had seen or something that they had observed working with their athletes, but what they were talking about is that with soccer players, the goalies, because they don't run as much, they generally don't have the same, you know, VO2 max and markers of cardiovascular fitness that the other players will, who run more and sprint more and are moving more. And, you know, that's just, you know, the nature of the sport. But what they found was that when you tested the goalies by themselves, their scores would be lower than when you tested them with the rest of the team. And basically that the element, the competitive element of knowing that these other guys were, you know, fitter than they were, and that they were, you know, they didn't want to, you know, appear that much, you know, that much less fit than they were. I don't know if that's the right way to say that, but you know what I mean? So, but again, the mental state that they were able to achieve in that group setting allowed them to produce higher results than it, when they were just training with other goalies or testing with other goalies. So again, what was their true VO2 max? What was their true marker of cardiovascular fitness that they were testing? Was it when they're testing by themselves or when they were testing with, you know, in that more competitive environment? So again, the mind plays such a huge role in how you're able to endure on the trail. And unfortunately, that becomes almost a secondary consideration when you're constantly focused on, I've got to get and maintain this heart rate or power zone, and you start to lose, you know, you're not focusing as much on the mind-body connection as much as you are just producing a result. So, you know, training yourself to become mentally tougher and more focused should be the focus of your cardio training, not the secondary consideration. So again, tension is what you're wanting to, you know, you're wanting to mimic the tension demands, and you're also wanting to train yourself to be mentally tougher and be able to stay focused in a more fatigued state. So again, those things need to be the focus of your cardio training, and the heart rate and power stuff needs to be a secondary thing. You observe them to see how the body's responding more than using them to guide the training. You're using the tension demands and the mental demands as the guide, and seeing how your body responds, and using those other things to help, you know, see that if you're progressing or not, and how you're progressing and things like that. So, you know, within that, training yourself mentally, I remember, again, I forget the exact guy's name. He was a coach that has worked with a ton of Olympic sprinters and runners. And he was talking about how there's the performance curve that basically, you know, everyone's going to start to hit the wall and their performance is going to start to drop. But what he had found was that there were things beyond just, you know, metabolically that you could do to sustain that performance curve. And basically, you know, finding mental cues like your breathing or some sort of performance cue to focus on would allow you to continue to survive. Like, you could be dying metabolically, but you're holding it together performance-wise longer because you've mentally trained yourself to have this focal point, this mental focal point that allows you to go beyond just what the physiological limitations would necessarily be considered. So again, using your breathing is huge. That's something that I have found has really, really worked for me. A lot of riders that I work with, you know, I mean, pretty much every rider I work with get some sort of breathing coaching, and, you know, I encourage them to use that breathing on the bike. And those that have seen just, you know, really phenomenal results simply from improving the way that they breathe on the trail. But, you know, as you're fatiguing, again, this is something I've personally experienced myself, you know, as I'm tired towards the end of a ride and, you know, I'm starting to just feel myself, you know, starting to break down, that when I just go back to my breathing and I just focus on my breathing, that all of a sudden, without thinking about it, I'm more relaxed and I'm actually pushing a little harder and going faster without trying to go faster. All I did was just start to focus on my breathing. And again, it allowed me to push through, beyond where I maybe would have if I didn't have that mental focal point. So that needs to be part of your training, more than necessarily focusing on heart rates and power levels and stuff like that. So again, you want to use heart rate and power levels to see how your body responds to training rather than as your guide. You know, you want to focus more on the mind-body connection than just logging miles at a certain heart rate or power level. So, you know, that's the basic way that I look at cardio training. So when people ask me, like, what heart rate level do I need to be at? I'm like, I don't know. You need to be focusing on other things and then see what your heart rate is when you're focusing on those things. Like, don't try to hit a certain heart rate and sustain it. You want to be hit a certain effort level, a certain tension level, and then be focusing on your focal points, the things that are going to allow you to improve your performance and allow you to, you know, get that mental toughness that you need to push harder and further and see how your body is responding to that. So, so basically that's it in a nutshell, just to kind of expand on that idea a little bit, using, you know, this stuff for training for mountain biking, because again, you know, specifically heart rate. I get a lot of questions about heart rate. I think the power, I mean, I will say real quick, I think that, you know, power is something that it's closer, I guess, to a direct cause of performance than heart rate is. And so I think that there are better ways to use power with these concepts than heart rate. I think heart rate tends to be misused a little bit more than power does. And so at this point, you still want to keep those things in mind. I'm going to kind of like go off and talk a little bit more specifically about heart rate training and how you use heart rate training for mountain biking than necessarily, power. Because like I said, I think there's good ways to use power, but you still need to keep those things that I was talking about in mind and don't chase numbers. That's not the point. Chase tension, chase mental toughness. The numbers will come. So now with heart rate, again, remember that heart rate responds to tension. And so ultimately creating and managing that tension is what you're trying to train yourself to do. And once you've learned to manage that tension better, your heart rate's going to respond accordingly. So, again, simply training at a certain heart rate isn't the point if you're not mimicking the tension demands of your sport. This is one of the reasons that I don't think that riding a road bike is good off-season training for mountain bikers, because you end up manipulating your heart rate in a way that gets it to fall into like specific zones and do certain things, but you're doing it in a way that's very non-specific to the tension demands of the trail. So again, that's just kind of my thoughts on it. And so this is why I use heart rate as a guide, or not as a guide, but as a way to monitor progress. And it's something that I was touching on earlier, is what you want to do is you want to focus on those tension demands, the mental demands, see what your heart rate does. Seeing your heart rate drop faster during rest periods, or being able to sustain a harder pace at a lower heart rate, are all signs of improved fitness, but only if the methods used are focusing not just on the heart rate, but on the specific tension demands causing those heart rates on the trail. So that's the important thing. You need to look at what are the tension demands on the trail, and then you need to mimic those in your training program and work on your ability to sustain and produce and sustain that. Now, one of the things that gets overlooked in cardio training is the ability to recover. And especially when you're riding, mountain bikes, trail riding, it's so hard to just find and sustain the same pace. You have to like go out of your way to find trails that allow you to do that. Most mountain biking trails are like interval repeats. There's hard parts and then there's easy parts. You're going up the hill and then you're coming down the hill. There's the easy coasting section and then you got the hard technical rock garden. And climbs have, pitches on them. You're going up and you get a little bit of a break and then there's another hard, go at it. And so it's that constant changing of tension. There's go hard and then you get a short little rest, and then go hard and you get a short little rest. And so being able to, you want to train yourself to be able to recover efficiently and effectively. And so, again, this is where breathing comes in and stuff like that. But this is one of the things, like if you want to, you want to teach your body to produce and sustain tension when it's time to work, and you want to train it to recover from and lower tension levels when it has the chance to, because that's going to allow it to more effectively produce tension next time that it has to. And so, training that recovery is huge. So, if you train your body to push hard and recover quickly, when given the chance, then you'll know mentally that you can push, harder earlier in a race or a ride or a climb, knowing that you can quickly recover when you do get that chance. Now, you contrast this with the rider who is training a specific heart rate or power level. I mean, really like heart rate, like I said, all the time, or like, misusing power training. And they will pace themselves more because that's what they train themselves to do. So, again, like asking what heart rate do I need to train at, it's the wrong question. You need to ask yourself, what are the tension demands of the way that you want to ride, and then train your, train those things and your heart rate will follow. So, if you lead your training with your heart rate, if the heart rate is the goal of your training, then you can totally miss the tension demands that you were looking for. So anyway, so that's, about it. I mean, that's in a nutshell how I look at using heart rate training for mountain biking is, look at the tension demands, how how long do you pedal? How hard do you pedal? Like realistically, like what is what is a sustained pedaling effort for you? How long is a climb? You know, so I mean, if you're, you know, if you have 30-second bursts, then you need to train 30-second bursts. Like one of the things that, you know, I do work with the riders I train is just the ability of doing something as simple as, you know, 10 seconds hard with 50 seconds rest. You know, just teaching yourself to tap into 100% and then recover from that and then do it again. And, you know, just something as simple as that, you know, you don't think about it, but there are those hard 10-second, really high tension efforts on the trail. And if you don't, you know, train those things, then they're not going to necessarily get better. You can't expect those things to get better from constantly focusing on, you know, longer efforts and, you know, stuff like that. So anyways, before I get too far off course, as I've been known to do, and, you know, start going off into other subjects and stuff, I'll bring this to a conclusion by saying that, you know, I hope that this has done its job and given you some fuel for thought, that some of you now have a different outlook on cardio training and really energy systems development. I mean, let's just call it what it is. It's not cardio training. It's energy systems development. It's endurance training. It's teaching yourself to be able to endure faster and longer on the trail. And so again, focusing on the tension demands and the, you know, the mental, the focus and toughness that you need to be able to go beyond just the physiological markers of when you should be breaking down. You remember the old saying, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog, right? It's heart. Can't measure heart and, you know, your grit, your determination. And so, again, make sure you're training those things as well. So anyway, so that's it. It's going to do it for this podcast. Before I go, I do want to mention that I've redone my membership site, my coaching members website, and on it you'll find, you know, really if you're looking for an off-season training plan, it's your best bet. I have a full annual plan, you know, 6 off-season workouts, 6 in-season workouts, energy systems development workouts, all the stuff that I talk about on my blog, all the stuff that I talked about in here is already done for you, put together. It's pretty much just, you know, put it, you know, follow the workouts. You got access to the forum so you can ask me any questions that you might have, things that you need help with, kind of tailoring to your, you know, whatever you got going on. So anyways, check that out at mountainbiketrainingprograms.com. And anyways, once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems. You can check me out on the web at bikejames.com. If you got any questions or comments about this podcast, please visit me there. And post them on this blog post, and I'll get to them as soon as I can. So, again, hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and I will talk to you next time.